Is it, though, a question or a decree?
It's actually a decree. Hmm. It's a statement.
It's letting you know.
It's letting me know.
I'm making you like it.
I got you. I got you. So I like that. And I don't have a say in the matter. I like it.
Correct. Okay. If I'm walking by you and I tell you you like that, you just lost all personal freedom. You have to like it.
All right. Okay. It's tough but fair, I suppose.
Tough but fair.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There he was, Kirk Cousins. I do like that, and I did like him quite a bit when we had that powerhouse sit-down conversation about his very popular catchphrase. Now he's looking ahead to a trip to San Francisco, where if you believe all the rumors of about 2 years ago, it looked like he was headed, Kirk was, to join Kyle Shanahan and company. But then all of a sudden, Jimmy G was dropped in Shanahan's lap, sent over from the New England region of Football America. Anywho, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope you're ready. I hope your hearts, your eyeballs, your guts, all the rest of you are ready for what figures to be a compelling divisional round. After a dynamite quartet of games on the wild card week, Eddie Spaghetti back there behind the glass. How are we?
It's a strange week for me, for Giants fans.
Joe Judge.
I mean, Joe.
Congratulations, bro. You never heard of the guy before, and now he's your head coach.
We started off on a high because you're kind of like, okay, McCarthy was the safe hire. I think Giants fans would have been a little more afraid if it was like a Lincoln Riley or an Urban Meyer type hire. McCarthy, you feel okay about it. And then the Giants, all signs are pointing to Matt Rhule, obviously, and you wake up Tuesday morning and it's David Tepper flies into Waco, into Matt Rhule's home, like he was the recruit. And gives him a blank check, and now he's the head coach of the Panthers and the Giants.
I know, it's weird. And plus, by the way, so you get neither the retread head coach, a guy who's at least had some experience,
right,
which feels uninspired most of the time.
Right.
And you also didn't get anybody who Sean McVay has known. You get just some rando guy who happened to be – I'm not diminishing him. I have no idea what he's going to be capable of doing.
Yeah, and the weird thing was the few hours between, because it happened kind of close to it together. So like when Rhule was hired before Judge was hired, that time between was everything was like, oh, this is going to be Jason Garrett. Like Jason Garrett is probably going to end up being the Giants head coach.
Imagine that. And see, that's what I'll say to you, Gents fans out there. If you think that this is bad and you're upset about it, it could have been Jason Garrett. And then what? Then you'd really, really be sad. And like the late, great Jerry Orbach says at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I was wrong. I said Bill Belichick would be departing Foxborough to head over to New York. I guess he isn't going to go anywhere. He's not going to go back to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if my Urban Meyer prediction is going to come true. I'll still hold out for that one. We'll see where Tom Brady lands. Much to be determined as we're not even into the offseason for 8 lucky teams, 24 others now looking ahead to autumn of 2020. You know what, Spaghetti? You hear the Kirk Cousins sound there. And that's just the start of things. As it happens, as you know, I'm a vain person, and I've met with any number of pro football players over the last year or so. So I'd like to share little snippets from my interactions with some of the nicer, more enjoyable fellas that we did kibitz with that are playing this coming weekend, Derrick Henry and beyond. Before all that, though, let's just do it out of order here, Spaghetti. Let's get to the main course here, and then we'll go back and pick at the hors d'oeuvres.
Sure.
Is there any culture that does it that way? I was just going to say, like the French do, but I don't know. Do the French do it that? I know the Spanish.
Tapas. It's little dishes here and there.
Yeah. We'll have tapas, but first let's eat a substantial meal for lunch, right?
I'm fine with that.
Isn't that how they do in Spain? Don't they eat their big meal during the day and then they go and they nap and then they just pick at things like late?
Like the midnight dinner at tapas. Yeah, you're right.
That's what the DDFP will be today. So that's it, Spaghetti. With no further ado, it's just you and me today. Let's do the divisional round. Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
I heard you try to pick up the slack there.
I got it. I was in that one.
Handsome Hank off traveling football globe.
Yeah, he's in like 3 different countries.
Yeah,
good for him.
I know. Let's get into it here, Spaghetti, and then we'll chop up the other big pro football news out there. And if you want to talk any fantasy football, we can. My fantasy league specifically. There's been a lot of I don't know, slander? I don't know if that's what you call it out there from, if you're familiar with his work, Cousin Sal. You may have seen him on the Kimmel Show.
Oh, yeah.
And he does a, you know, he does some stuff for FS1. And then his friend Simmons, you know.
I don't know that one.
Bill Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Sports guy.
I'll look him up.
They're in a fantasy league that I'm in, too. And because they're raw about the fact that I have now won the title 2 out of the last 3 seasons, which I don't know. Does that make me a dynasty? I'm not clear.
2 is a weird one.
People, 2 out of 3?
2 out of 3 is good. But there was a discussion, I don't know how long ago, but it was like you need 3. Like people said a dynasty is 3 and 5.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
That checks out. But anyway, they're quite raw, and they feel ashamed that to once again be watching Damashek celebrate the victory parade and all the rest of it. So listen, now they're taking pot shots because it's a big trophy in our league. It's a bit the main thing you get, the main victory of winning the fantasy league is that you get to kick out somebody at the draft on the eve of the season kickoff, and so it's therefore it's too late for you to reasonably get into another fantasy league, and you're there with your peer group, and then you have to pick up all your stuff and leave the draft in front of everybody.
Could you swap out like a punishment, or is it that has to be the one you kick?
You have to kick somebody.
Gotcha.
Out. Yeah, you have to kick somebody out in this league, and now people are already, you know, saying overly nice things. I can see it from a mile away, but lucky for them, if I didn't mention it earlier, I'm vain. And so I respond to that. Your flattery will get you everywhere with Damashek. Some people too prideful to engage in that sort of thing. In fact, Simmons and Sal going 180 degrees in the other direction, disparaging me in public forums. Because, as it happens, about 2-ish, 3-ish years ago, I totaled my car. Not my fault. Other driver immediately on the scene, the police, the other driver, everybody said, well, clearly this is that other person pulled right in front of me. I was helpless to do anything about it. But one of the victims of that crash, not only was my car totaled, so too apparently was the very large trophy that I had in my trunk. Why was it in my trunk? It's not your business why. I don't know.
I was going to ask that, yeah.
Well, I'd like to convince everybody of the myth that I was using this gigantic 5-foot-tall trophy as my hood ornament. But I don't know. That maybe that makes it sound better. But anyway, it was lost to history. And so now I'm expected to replace it. But grown men need a trophy for their fantasy football? What about the fact you get to kick somebody out and humiliate them? Isn't that a greater prize?
Much better. My league does not have a trophy.
First of all, well, what you need is a kickout rule. Mm. And two, all teams, all fantasy leagues need to go auction because it creates a lot of heat, a lot of excitement. Mm. You know, I encourage you, nay demand that you go and do that. All right, listen, we played the Red Challenge flag picks and the fantasy title has already been settled. Let's look ahead, though, to the divisional round, shall we? And let's look at Santa Clara, California, the aforementioned Kirk Cousins paying a visit to Jimmy G and company, the number one seed in the NFC. I feel like a lot of people off the top of my head, not since, I'm trying to think even who really compares as a number one seed that feels like collectively the fans are kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But as we talked about in his virgin run here on the DDFP a couple of days ago, D'Angelo Hall joined us.
It was great.
He really was gangbusters.
He was really good.
And the feedback has been outstanding for him in his first run. So we'll look forward to getting him back too. But I floated this to him. And Spaghetti and Handsome Hank, I feel like, with the possible exception of the Niners, that the Titans are better than everybody in the NFC.
The Niners have to win this Super Bowl to finally get respect. There's nothing they could do that people will trust them until they actually win. The season's over, then you could say they actually were a good team. I think, unless you're a 49ers fan, the general public or of NFL fans probably felt the two best NFC teams were the Saints and probably the Packers, just because of Aaron Rodgers. Not that I agree with that, but I think they're just a team because the lack of humongous quarterback play and the uncertainty at running back, and they really didn't get a name receiver until Emmanuel Sanders midseason. It's just like one of those. I mean, they have George Kittle, who's amazing. Their defense obviously is amazing, but I think football in this last year and change, 2 years, this era, is like, you need to have a potent offense for us to trust you.
That they, I mean, they ended up still with the number one seed, and everybody points to the Seahawks game that they lost in Santa Clara. Of course, they didn't have Emmanuel Sanders. They didn't have George Kittle, their two best pass catchers, and they didn't have their kicker who would have won the game for them in overtime. So they would have been even better. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's very strange. It's been a recurring point here on the show this season. Yeah, you're exactly right. They have done a number of things that are worthy of, for what it matters, your fan respect, and for the sense that they are very credibly a Super Bowl contender right sure. now. But to the matter at hand, Vikings, 49ers, Eddie Spaghetti. Choose.
If I gave away my pick with that explanation, I'm going to go with the road team here. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Upset special.
Eddie, I'm going to throw it. I'm throwing it, and I'm going to pull it right back here. But yes, I am going to throw it, and I'm going to take the Niners at home. Because on one hand, I like the mojo. I feel like, you know, if you're the Vikings, this has been a legitimate. I know that pro football players like to say, we don't hear the outside noise and no one's worried. And Kirk never cared that the media was questioning, the fans never were questioning. I think that is nonsense. Of course, people hear that noise. They're human beings, after all. And Kirk knew that he was not coming up clutch in big spots. That was the narrative that was forming around his career. And now he's vanquished that in a really rugged environment to win that game in overtime. Preceded, of course, big throw to Thielen to set up the game-winning touchdown and all that. I think they're feeling good. Ultimately, Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins, close to a wash. Is that fair? Are you going to go Cousins over?
I would slide with Cousins, yeah.
The bottom line for me is Dalvin Cook looked really good, which surprised me in New Orleans. I thought he had the shoulder was not going to be right, but he looked just fine running against the Saints. And I do think the Vikings are kind of built to stop that run attack that the Niners like to throw at everybody. So then it does boil down to QB versus QB, except for the reality. And believe me, the Vikings can get after Jimmy G.
Sure.
But I think with Dee Ford back and now Tart back on the back end for the Niners, that defense is pretty close to whole once again. I think that they can heat up Kirk Cousins. He does not love the pressure. No human being really does. But I don't think the physical pressure of that mighty pass rush. I think that is enough to create a narrow victory for the home team. The Niners survive it 23-21.
I like that score. I think it's going to be a close game too. It's weird that these two teams are similar in like the respect factor, how no one respects the 49ers. And I kind of think it goes back to what Hank said last week about the 49ers, that on paper, you look at this team, you're like, oh, that should be your undoubtedly like 14-2 Super Bowl favorite team, but they didn't get it done this season up to the expectations that people set for them. But I think in terms of the head-to-head matchup, the defense, like Danielle Hunter and all those guys they have in the secondary, like they're, I don't want to say as good as the 49ers, but they definitely are close to them. And then on offense, the difference is there is you have just two absolute stud receivers. Kyle Rudolph won the game for you in the end zone, but you also have Irv Smith, the rookie, at tight end as well. So you have two weapons there. And then Dalvin Cook is in the conversation for best running back in the league. If it's not McCaffrey, could be Cook right now. So it's like Cousins, it's all up to him if he can make enough plays versus defense. Nick Bosa has the most pressures for any rookie in the history of rookies.
But I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I think that they have the pieces in among their linebackers and otherwise to keep up with Dalvin Cook a little bit. Whereas I think that the Vikes, I wonder what kind of assets they have to devote to slowing down George Kittle. Does Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr? I mean,
Harrison Smith is, and not even my, you're gonna have to Notre Dame bias. Put him on him, and you have Barr rushing the quarterback with Danielle Hunter. You have like Everson Griffin. There's just guys that can get to Jimmy G as well. And I think something should be said of Kirk Cousins going into the Dome in New Orleans, winning that game in a really raucous environment. And I know there's some controversy with the push off.
I don't understand that controversy.
Whatever it is, he still got the job done down there. there, and it's a tough game, and no one really expected them to go in there and win. And I kind of agree with your theory on you want to have the week off to be rested and prepared for it, and you want to have the team who just played a game come into your building and you're ready for them. But I feel like winning that game in that fashion when no one expected it and you're feeling kind of good about yourselves, and it might be more of like a hockey thing where you want to have the hot team, you don't want to play them. But we've seen, like, you know, my Giants did it years back.
If you are
the hot team going in that building,
yeah,
the 49ers may not be ready. They have been sitting down for 2 weeks now, so that could be an interesting aspect.
They carry the curse of Sposta. Vikings have a devil may care attitude advantage. Minnesota going in there, they are freed of any expectation. The Niners are supposed to win as the number one seed. I hear you, man. Next up, then, the Saturday night special. Let's go to the AFC side. It's the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. This one, for me, recalls in 99, I think it was, so January of 2020, so 20 years ago then, the Titans were perceived to be the superior team, but the Ravens had gotten hot, and they went to the divisional round. They went into Nashville, Tennessee. This was... that's not 99. No, so this is the year 2000, so January of 2001. The Titans were really good. Steve McNair, the year after the Super Bowl and all of that. And the Ravens came in there with their mighty defense. And the play that resonates for me all these years later was when Steve McNair floated one to Eddie George in the flat, and Eddie George kind of got turned around and it sat on his shoulder pad.
The fumble, yeah.
And Ray Lewis kind of took it right off his shoulder and ran it into the end zone.
Remember that? Yeah.
Oh, that was the Madden curse?
Eddie George is on the cover. They considered the Madden curse, yeah.
All right. So now, like they say about revenge and being served cold and all that stuff, Titans, Ravens, choose.
Last week, I gave my prediction of a game that could get out of hand. I think this may be the one.
Huh.
So I want to go with the Ravens here at home.
All right. I'm going to not throw the red challenge flag, but you're calling for a blowout. I think the opposite is true here. I think Justin Tucker has to come up big in the fourth quarter or maybe even beyond. I do think the fans in Charm City do get to go home ultimately happy, maybe more relieved than happy, because their heroes barely survived this one. 27-24.
Okay.
Here's why. First of all, this thing that has caught fire and D'Angelo and Handsome and you all seem to buy into after the 1 week of evidence up in Foxborough, where you have the champ holding on, you know, gripping like grim death to relevance before being moved on into that good night. Okay, so they only scored 14 against them, and then the late defensive touchdown there. That doesn't mean that the Titans are a low-scoring, grinded-out team. Yeah, they'll grind you with Derrick Henry all day long, but they've put up a lot of points since Ryan Tannehill took over. So it's a misnomer to say, yeah, but that's not a team that can translate week after week when they're only putting up however many points in the teens. That's not the course that they've taken over the, you know, whatever it's been last 10 weeks or so of the season. Plus up in Foxborough, I think they can score. Watch Jimmy Smith and his availability in that one too, more significant than Earl Thomas, not as big a name brand as Earl Thomas, but that would be a massive absence for them. They should be able to do a decent job against Derrick Henry, I think. I also saw, in other words, what we're talking about is Ryan Tannehill stepping up against that great secondary. Jimmy Smith's not in there, though. It becomes much more mortal. I think the Ravens do ultimately survive it, like I say, by a field goal. But, I mean, you know, with the proviso, as always, with the asterisk that in a sport in which grown large human beings run into each other on purpose, all games are physical. But this one kind of does feel like what they're talking about when they say, oh, it's going to be a physical football game.
Oh, yeah. As of this recording today, Mark Ingram did not practice. Some people are freaking out about that. I don't think Mark Ingram is clearly their best running back, but I don't think that means that this game shifts completely. I think obviously it's the game. It's what Lamar does. That's obviously fact. But I think the other running backs they have in the roster could do enough. And especially when your defense is preparing to stop Lamar Jackson, there will be opportunities for the running backs to get chunks of yardage. I guess the Titans can't get a break. It looks like, I just checked the weather just to see what it would be in Baltimore. it's going to be warm, but there may be a chance, like a 42% chance of rain for Saturday. So that'll be interesting if that stops their passing game again, because they didn't throw the ball all that much versus the Patriots, whether that was by design because they didn't want to throw near Gilmore in the Patriots secondary, or because just, you know, game script because of Derrick Henry's dominance. But
there was no reason to go away from it.
Sure. And, you know, they're having Corey Davis and Brown, you know, the Ravens secondary has some players, but not overall as good of defense as the Patriots have been this year. So I would like if Tannehill could start throwing the ball around the yard and they score points, it would get interesting. But I just feel like if they don't get Derrick Henry started, and then, you know, Lamar just breaks a couple plays and they go up by, like, so I could see them just being up like 7, 10, 13 points the whole game. Just have a gap.
I hear you, but like we talked about a couple days ago, the thing we haven't seen, and it's because of their dominance, I'm not diminishing the Ravens, but because of, by virtue of that dominance, this isn't denigrating them on any level, but because of that, they haven't been trailing very much since the month of September. I looked it up. They were the latest that they trailed in a game was by 4 halfway through the second quarter. That's the latest that they trailed in a game in, like, I think 11 games, their 11 last games. So they're at minimum inexperienced with having to pull off any sort of a rally. They were down a touchdown, I guess, early to the Niners in the first quarter, but that went away. Excuse me. I'm trying to think if the pack, they had some big brand name games there, but they were never really in any peril by halftime of any of those. So you do wonder obviously easier said than done, but if the Titans can get into the locker room at the half and it's like, wow, we're up a touchdown here and we're getting the ball, I wonder if that spooks the Ravens. Just haven't been in that spot.
No, it will certainly be interesting to see how they react to that if they are down. I just feel that the team that could beat the Ravens, or if that will be the Ravens, in my mind, won't be a team that shuts down Lamar. It's a team that just outscores them. And it's like if that's either by turnover, or it's by if the Ravens have to punt 2 or 3 times a game and they just don't stop them, and they have to win like a 40-something to 40-something game. Like, that's honestly how I feel the rest of this postseason. Now, what's a team that could do that? Could be the Chiefs.
Well, let's talk about them right now.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I just don't know if the Titans they're an overall good team, nothing ultra flashy and nothing that's going to win you the game single-handedly like the Ravens have. The Ravens have the single most flashy player who could win a ball game, kind of like what Cam did years back when he was MVP. That's just how I feel.
Well, I'd be interested to know from a D-line or a defensive scheme expert, the breakdown on, after seeing what the Pittsburgh defense tried to do against Gus Edwards, they were trying to crash the edges to take that away from Lamar, and Gus just kept cutting it back up through the middle of that and really gashing them for big plays. So that is apparently taken away. I wonder if you modify as a defense based on what you saw Pittsburgh try to do. But of course, Tennessee's stout in the middle as well. So it's not going to be as easy as it is against a lot of teams that Lamar Jackson and company have run against. But to Sunday morning, here we go. Houston Texans fresh off their overtime win at home. Now they travel up to Arrowhead, where they've already won once, and that does matter. Going in against Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs do look a lot different than they did the last time they played Deshaun and company. Either way, a dandy matchup, at least among the two leading men, Deshaun v. Mahomes. Eddie Spaghetti, choose.
I am going to stick with the home team here.
At least you've taken an upset so far. Yeah. I've gone all with the favorites. I'm ashamed of myself. I got the Chiefs at home 31-20 here. I think that the defense is better. And even if it isn't better, I don't think in terms specifically of shutting down a power run game, we're not going to find out about that until next week. Obviously, Derrick Henry or the Lamar Jackson offense will be a much bigger handful. I'm not scared of Carlos Hyde and the rest of that running attack. It's about Deshaun Watson's ability to steal a game, just like he did last weekend against the Buffalo Bills. I do think ultimately, though, that Mahomes and company keep on rolling with the much improved over the last 5-6 weeks. Defense, like I say, an 11-point victory at home.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans-Bills game, part of it I was like in awe of what Deshaun Watson can do. It's almost like a Russell Wilson light kind of thing where you always just pick him to win, who will find a way to win. The other thing that's kind of disappointing is they have so many great players on this team, and they never, like, there was, for most of the game, I thought, oh, the Bills are actually going to win this one in Houston. Like, it, to me, it's disappointing. You have so many good players, and they just don't, they don't shine in the game. They don't dominate the game. And I just don't think you have that ability to play mediocre football versus the Chiefs. You know, if it's true that Andy Reid hasn't even used like half his playbook, he's saving it all for the postseason. You're versing the best quarterback in the game. You have Eric Bieniemy as running the show on the offense, who should be probably he should have been an NFL head coach years ago, and I want him to be in the mix for the Giants this year. I mean, you have like these geniuses running this offense, and you know, with the passing attack, with Tyreek Hill running by you and having Travis Kelce run his option routes, and even getting like handoffs in the backfield, you know, the trickery they have, and it's just, I don't know. I don't think. I actually did say the Ravens Titans game might be a blowout. This one, I feel it'll be a 2-score game as well.
I'm with you, and that is apparently not a small factor. Although it is weird from the outside looking in, we all just accept like, oh well, those guys played an extra quarter of football, and so that really peters them out. It's like, should that really be that severe? It was on Saturday, also, for what that's worth. So they did get an extra day more rest than they typically would have.
Right.
But okay. And so no offense, Texans fans, I think of all the teams that are left here out of the eight, the team, again, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. Take yourself away from it, Texans fan. You certainly are worthy of seeing your team get to a Super Bowl and make some hay. I think if the Texans survive, it's kind of unsatisfying, right?
For sure, totally. Because they're coming off the most unsatisfying victory. I know they won in dramatic fashion. They won, like you're saying, they overtime, played an extra quarter. But it's not the same as the Vikings going to New Orleans as an underdog and winning that game.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like this team ends up winning the Super Bowl. So then what's the point?
The Texans had to pull out a game versus Josh Allen, who was as sloppy as you could be as quarterback. And it's just like when they came to your building. And it's just, like I said, they're a frustrating team or an underwhelming team that has a lot of talent, a lot of big names, and they just don't put it together. And if they somehow, if Mahomes goes down with an injury or a lot of turnover, whatever, you know, sloppy football happens, the Chiefs lose that game, that would be really bad, because I think then the title game would be a blowout.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, that's the spirit. And by the way, back to the Ravens thing, the one I always look to, we always talk about the curse of supposed to, and when you're supposed to do it, there's a lot of pressure on you. I always think of UNLV after they obliterated Duke by 35 or whatever it was in the preceding spring's title game. Then they see Duke again, and they're trying to go undefeated that year. UNLV, you're probably too. You're too young to remember that, right?
The team
when
like
Duke,
Stacey,
with Bobby Hurley and Christian Leitner beat that UNLV team
with like Stacey Ogman and Larry Johnson, all those guys. I know.
Do you remember that?
I mean, it's always like ESPN Classic stuff or 30 for 30 or something on.
But it literally would have been happening when you were maybe like 6 months.
I was
older,
born in May '92.
So right. Yep. So yeah, that's it. Oh, how sad for me. It was a good game. You should go back and watch it. But UNLV hadn't been challenged all season long, and suddenly they were in a game like, wait, this Duke might beat us. And, you know, you feel the panic just emanating through your TV or otherwise. I would be interested to see the Ravens in that spot. It's just really a historically dominant run that they've been on. They just rarely even get challenged, you know. A few games down the stretch were tight there. But to our last game then. So, yeah, by the way, also the thing to watch out for is if you're a Chiefs fan, it's fun if the upset happens against the team you assume you're going to have to go and play. Those people who root for Arrowhead, it's so fun. As a Steelers fan, I can think of, at minimum, the one game in 95 that the Steelers and or what was it, 90? Yeah, January of 95, where you thought that the Steelers were going to have to go through Arrowhead against a 13-3 Chiefs team, but then the Colts went in there and upset them, and so the Colts came to you, and all of a sudden it was like, home game, I got to get back there for that game. Arrowhead can suddenly swing on Saturday night. If the Ravens fall, all of a sudden you have somebody coming to you if you can just vanquish the Texans, and that's the sweet spot of life.
Quickly, if the Titans are coming to Arrowhead to play this game, would you feel any different about it?
If the Titans?
Just say if the Titans somehow are coming to, would you feel worse about the Chiefs, or are the Chiefs at a level where they're good enough, or you think just because of matchup base the Texans? Because I'm unsure how I feel. I think the Chiefs are my Super Bowl champion, but I feel like the Titans versus the Chiefs would be a game where I'd be like, oh, that could get real interesting. But this game, I don't feel.
Well, we already saw the Ravens embarrass the Texans.
Right.
So I would not have any confidence that that would be anything close to a ball game. Whereas if the Titans come into KC,
it's a way different feel
with all the history and everything else, I think that there would be a lot of pressure on Mahomes and everybody coming in there.
The Chiefs' path, I think, to get where they have to go.
If the Titans beat the number one seed, this mighty Ravens team, then I mean, you know, the sky's the limit.
Oh, sure. I mean,
them.
That could happen. I don't see that happening, but I think that's why I'm just thinking of the Chiefs' path to the Super Bowl, having the Texans as their first game, their home game. I feel like it could be a relatively easy game for them. That's why I think they're going to be my Super Bowl team. I already picked that, but I think if it was reversed, where the Titans are coming there in the divisional round, I would feel a lot different about the rest of the playoffs.
Lastly, there are at least three that I can think of. There was the Fail Mary game. There was the boss of the craziest, most heartbreaking, one-sided in terms of heartbreak game I've ever seen, when the Packers should have beaten the Seahawks nine times over, and instead they lose in overtime because just a series of flukes and bad decisions, highlighted by what was the guy's name? Brian Bostic, the backup tight end who tried to field the onside kick and hit him in the shoulder whatever. That was terrible. But anyway, you have that one, and then you have Matt Hasselbeck saying, we're going to take the ball because we're going to win. And then they lost. But anyhow, all prelude to Sunday, the anchor game of the divisional round here in January 2020. Seahawks, Packers, spaghetti. Juice.
Well, here's my second upset special, although this one I could say I don't feel as confident about. But
everybody likes this one.
Cannot pick against Russell Wilson. I don't believe in the Packers, so my pick is Seattle.
Can you believe it? I'm going straight chalk. I'm going all home favorites. I feel like that stinks. I apologize to you all. In fact, let's do it backwards. First of all, I'll tell you, I think the Packers get it 26-21. It's supposed to be really cold.
Let me check the weather on that one.
Aaron Rodgers is statistically, over the course of his career, it's something we point at quite a bit. Maybe it's a little overstated, but it still does matter if it's frigid, and guys have barely been out in it. The Seahawks did okay against the Vikings in that historically frigid game in the U of Minnesota's stadium for that one season when they played them outside. What are you shaking your head about? What's the weather?
The low is 15, the high is 25. It'll be relatively
not too
sunny.
Bad.
Yeah, but
the sun will be down, though, so it'll be 15.
It'll be at nighttime. Yeah, you're right. I could not imagine living there. That is something else.
I find it kind of nice. Every time I go into it the last 20 years, it's always, I already know I'm going to be in the cold for a finite stretch, so I love it. If I knew it was like the next 4 months are going to be like this, I don't know. That would be a tough pill to swallow.
I would be like Tom Coughlin, like red face when he like rubbed the Vaseline on it. It's miserable. I mean, those are strong people. DK Metcalf said that he's not going to wear sleeves.
Terrific. Good for you, DK. That'll spook everybody in the joint. They live in it. You understand, DK. You're not intimidating anybody by doing that. Anyhow, I think Aaron Rodgers, all the questions, this and that, I think the bottom line is that I think that the Packers offense can move the ball on the Seahawks, and I think that with what they have at running back, the Seahawks, or rather what they don't have at running back at this point, Marshawn Lynch periodically making little cameos and then Homer, I mean, they don't have anything that scares you in the run game. So then you sit on the pass with Russell Wilson, and the Packers happen to have a great secondary and they can chase the QB. And so I think that spells ultimately a closer than expected than expected by whom? I don't know by who does these expectations, these prognostications, but I'm saying that the Packers get out of there with a 5-point victory and they move on to play the Niners. But let's go backwards now to your point. If you're listening to Dave and Spaghetti right now and you want to figure out, okay, you made four picks, but which are the ones that you really believe in? Let's rank the ones you're most confident in the result.
Okay.
Let's do this for the tracker of the Red Challenge flag picks, Andrew Raby.
Sure.
Let's jazz it up a little bit for ourselves. Let's do weighted picks. Let's do it confidence pool style.
Okay.
So go ahead. What's your four game, which is the one you're most confident in?
Most confident, without a doubt, it's Chiefs over Texans.
Did you give a score?
I did not, but I said that I could see this being it's a minimum two-score game.
I'm with you. That's my four game, too. My three game, as far as confidence goes, believe it or not, I'm going to say the Packers. I'm confident that the Packers are going to win that game. It's all – I mean, that – It is all Russell Wilson. It is all Russell Wilson.
Well, the new interesting tidbit is having Tyler Lockett is as good and as solid and is probably not a big enough name across the country as he should be. But then now having a physical freak in DK Metcalf making plays for you, I think that helps him a bit. Like I said, this pick I'm making is not really a football X and O's pick. It's more of just like a team of destiny, which I hate that cliche. But it's just like I just don't want to pick against Russell Wilson. And yeah, they should have won by a bigger margin in Philadelphia, especially with Carson Wentz going down. I mean, if Carson Wentz finishes that game, who knows what the score is. But
tracks differently too.
Sure, but it's just a mix of the Packers and Rodgers being underwhelming this year, and the Seahawks just every game.
So that's your
finding
three
a way
game?
To be in it. No. I'm saying why I.
Oh.
No, my three game is the Ravens over the Titans. The AFC games are.
That makes
confident.
Sense. I'll make that my two game. So then, what's your two game?
The Vikings over the 49ers.
Vikings over 49ers.
Yeah.
And that's my one game. I really can absolutely see the Vikings winning that game. And again, just looking at then what that would mean for the matchups, if I'm right and it's Vikings at Packers, I guess that's good. That's a fun NFC rival game,
sure.
The Brett Favre Bowl and all that. Or you get Vikings at Seahawks. That was a pretty good game they played, about 5-6 weeks ago up in Seattle. I wouldn't mind seeing that that rematch. I almost picked that one. That's how close these calls are for me. And then the Niners potentially hosting the Seahawks is pretty snazzy stuff. But then again, Aaron Rodgers coming into his neck of the woods where he grew up. We know about that. That would be a compelling NFC title game as well. The most important one. And Titans and Texans, again, I have to say it. Your fan, the fan base and everything, you deserve J.J. Watt. By the way, that's one reason. I like J.J. Watt. I think it's lovely the work that he does in Houston,
sure.
Children's Hospital and all that kind of stuff. But understand where I'm coming from. We got to see Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Come on. That's the Super Bowl, man.
The AFC title game, we need to have Ravens versus Chiefs. The NFC, whatever the mix is, I'm fine with any outcome. I think any of those four, Vikings, Niners, Hawks, and Packers, any of those mix of four could be a good NFC championship. But AFC has to be Lamar versus Mahomes.
Spaghetti, lay it on me. What sound do we have to play here?
We have some Stephon Diggs. We have some Rashawn Evans.
Rashawn Evans. This is good because as the college football title game approaches, Rashawn Evans connected some dots for us when we met up with him in Nashville, Tennessee, a few months back. And we talked about Nick Saban and Bill Belichick and all that. Let's take a listen to Evans.
Mike Vrabel, he's a great coach. I feel like some of them, they kind of compare in different ways as far as how they coach. Very hands-on, very, assertive, with certain things that they want done. So, and he's a Patriot guy. You know, Patriot guys are, they kind of the blue-collar type players, just like Alabama players. So, I feel like it's just some similarities with those two guys. For
That's
sure.
funny you say that, because Vrabel seems super loose, even though he did come from the Belichick.
I think he's like the new era Belichick.
A little bit more player friendly,
a lot younger. He can relate to a lot of the players, a little better than what Belichick can, because Belichick, his age group is a lot older than some of these guys, but at the same time, I mean, Belichick's his resume speaks for itself.
I liked him very much. Well, by the way, if you thought what was going on with the sound there, it's because we were working a drive-through window at Zaxby's.
That's what I was gonna say. He's serving out chicken sandwiches and salads and the like, but he's also given insight about Vrabel being how Vrabel's like a hybrid of Saban and Belichick, but he's just a younger version. He's more relatable and stuff. It was a pretty good answer, pretty candid answer from him.
So yeah, I enjoyed that. What else do we have?
We have Stephon Diggs, who talks about Kirk Cousins and his confidence level of him. We also have, who am I forgetting? We have a whole chunk with Derrick Henry. We have some Lamar Jackson. We have some...
You know what? I like Lamar Jackson. Let's finish the show off with our conversation with Lamar Jackson the night he got drafted. But before that, throw at me here a little... Diggs on Kirk Cousins, and this is at last year's Super Bowl, talking about the confidence that he and Thielen, and you may recall the tumult, and by the way, it continued even into the wild card round. Some stuff going on there, but They're still alive for another week, and it sounds like Diggs is, at the time of this recording, is destined to play this weekend. But in the meantime, here is Diggs talking about Cousins et al.
I'm 100% with him. I believe he can win just because he has a winner mentality. He has a winner mindset, and he got winners around him. You know, it's gonna be huge to add a couple more pieces, but he has everything that he needs as far as, you know, we have the talent on the offense and we have the guys that want to win. We have good character guys that work hard. So we got a foundation built. We just got to build off it.
I found Diggs to be very likable, but then he's kind of gone against a lot of the stuff about how he's cool with drawing the top cover corner and freeing up Thielen and beyond. But it feels as though he's gotten a little raw about his lack of targets in big games there.
Yeah, but then, you know, Thielen gets injured this year and Diggs becomes the guy. And I know it started off rough for them with Cousins not, you know, winning the games they wanted to, like the first, what, 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And now it's like they're at the point, this Vikings versus 49ers divisional game is the quarterback, the prove it bowl. Because if the winner of this game, I feel like if Jimmy G wins, it's like, okay, we could trust Jimmy G. And if Kirk Cousins wins, it's like, okay, I trust Kirk Cousins.
That's a good name for it. I like that.
And now you have these if the Vikings win with Diggs, Cousins, and the like, they win this game. And now Cousins, I think, loses that whole he can't win versus teams above 500, can't win prime time, can't win Monday Night Football. And so it's a humongous game for him, but also for Jimmy G as well.
It really is. And here's as everybody tries to put Tom Brady out on the open market and predict where he's going to land. If Jimmy G had one of those Jake Delhomme kind of stinkers, one of those kind of all-time atrocity games, I wonder if then there would be some sentiment like, let's let Tom come in here for 1 year.
That's also the weird
thing. I think it would lose you Jimmy G, though, so I think it seems pretty unrealistic.
The weird thing about this game, too, is like if the winner of this game that you trust forever, you probably would not ever question their ability. The loser of this game, and I wouldn't say just if you just lost, but if you have a pretty awful game, multiple turnovers, like just no touchdown passes, there could be some discussion as like, this team is good enough to win, but you're the reason you're holding us back. And there may be a controversy with...
I agree. Because of the pressure of the playoffs and being expected to win this game and everything else. But I would defend Jimmy G and have all season long. As the season progressed and as you gave him Emmanuel Sanders and when George Kittle was healthy, he was making big throws in the second half of the season. I think he's been a little slept on as an actual virtue for that team.
Yeah.
That is a loaded team overall, like you say. All right, let's finish it up right there, Spaghetti. But let's round it out with a guy who celebrated his birthday. He's been a revelation. He's soon to be your NFL MVP. And who knows, maybe he'll get his first victory in the playoffs. Yeah, would be the first because he lost to the Chargers in Baltimore last year.
He'd be the fourth youngest, I think, to ever
win a playoff game?
Yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Neat. Yeah, fun stuff. You know, in the season in which all old QBs finally turned old, all of a sudden it's the new guard. And by the way, Pats fans, chin up or chin down. I don't know what to make of this, but hey, I took a look at the AFC side of things. Guess what? You lost all four of those teams. So there you go, right? Mm. Is that something to root for? Are you one of these schnooks, Spaghetti, who if you're like the Patriots, like, I just want the team that beat us to win the Super Bowl because then it makes us look better? Or are you like, I want to see that team hurt?
No.
I want to see them suffer emotionally just as they've caused me to suffer.
I'm weird if like my team loses. I pretty much just look through the whole AFC or NFC and just say which team do I like the most? Like who has the most likable players, the best story, and kind of go for that. Obviously, if it's a rival, if the Eagles are still in this, I'm not rooting for the Eagles. I would never root for the Patriots. Maybe the only team that I've ever done that for is the Los Angeles Kings, actually, for beating the Rangers. This is the only team I will not root for because they beat them in the past. So that's the one scenario. But besides that, I'm not that.
Well, you talk about things to root for. There are good stories on all eight of these teams still left, but Lamar Jackson is the story of the 2019 NFL season, and we'll see if he can keep it going this weekend. Either way, we found him delightful when we met him at the draft. We got the kibitz with him in his dark green suit and the anxiety of being the last guy left there, waiting to hear his name get called, seated next to his mom. Like I say, lovely guy. We'll leave you with that, and then we'll talk to you after the wild card round and in front of the divisional round. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven, and here is Lamar Jackson.
You're listening to David Damashek.
Well, look at this. First of all, I want to give you an award, the suit of the night.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's very fashionable. I don't think I would look so good in it, but you really make it work.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Forest green, I think, is what it is.
Money
right?
Green, lucky green.
Can I tell you something? It's Lamar Jackson, of course, new Baltimore Raven, this was not what I wanted to see happen. I like the Steelers, and this is what I feared would be the choice they made, and now they have. How does it sit with you? Baltimore Raven.
I'm happy to be a Baltimore Raven.
You like that?
Absolutely. I love it.
What do you think about it? It's too soon to start talking about the situation. You'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Okay. You got Flacco there. You'll battle that and you'll figure out what the story is later on. But have you ever been up to Baltimore?
I did. I went up on a visit. I had a great visit, you know, with Mr. Ozzie, you know, Coach Harbaugh. And I felt I was going to be a Raven probably earlier. But, you know, they waited last pick and I'm just honored. Yes,
sir. Hey, you're a Heisman Trophy winner. The NFL MVP, which perhaps one day you'll bring home as well, has no name. Who should it be named after? And what should the pose be? Like, you know, the pose of the
Heisman. I really
don't
know. I can't even tell you. No, that's not even on my mind.
Who's your favorite Raven of all time?
Favorite Raven? Ooh, I like Ed Reed.
Oh,
I like Ed
one.
Reed.
That's a good
I like
one
Ed
go
Reed.
With.
He brought a lot to the table. Even Ray Lewis. That's what they were known for when, you know, when I was growing up. You know, the defensive part of it. And defense winning championships. So I always heard that a lot, watching the Under Armour commercials. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, I don't know, it's out of those two.
You should also, even though he never technically played for them, say Ozzie Newsome, because he drafted him.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Hats off to Mr. Ozzie.
Did you, was Ozzie on the phone? Is he the one who put the call in to you?
Actually, it was someone else on the phone, you know, but I got to talk to Mr. Ozzie.
You, I got to tell you, what did he have to say? Sorry for making you wait a couple extra picks there.
He said, "Are you ready?" That's all. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
And you said, "I don't." Oh, you said yes.
Yes, sir. I'm
be
ready.
Funny. It'd be funny if you were like, "I don't know." Talk me into it, you know.
No, they done. I waited enough. They don't got to talk
gonna make
me into it.
You're gonna make it worth my while, Ozzie?
Yeah,
you know?
I did.
And you were the guy who they kept. They do that with the quarterbacks who's ever left in that room.
Oh, okay.
That's who they throw on the camera there. But yeah. You seem pretty good natured about it. Were you having fun?
Oh, it was a fun experience for me. You know, just being here. You know, a lot of people not able to come to the draft, and just for me to be in Dallas, it was an honor.
Oh, that's great. So you were not at all feeling like, I better get picked while I'm sitting here.
At the end, yeah. It's like when I'm the last quarterback and the last one there, I'm like, man, I done brought this suit out. I better be picked up.
Yeah, Ozzie was teasing you for a second. He took somebody else. Like, I thought you were taking me, Ozzie. Good luck.
Thank you.
Just don't beat the Steelers. That's all. You know what I mean? You can. They're 14 other games.
They passed me up, too.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Now it sounds like you're angry about that.
No, I ain't angry.
You're going to show them, though.
I'm a Raven.
All right, go wear purple.
I'm happy.
That's a fashion-forward color for
like
a fashion-forward fella.
Should have worn purple.
I like that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, next suit for you, purple. That's
purple,
right.
Definitely.
All right, go get them. Go have a good night, man.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.